Dr. Meckling, you have said recently that agencies, especially at the federal level, but really at all government levels, are under unprecedented pressure to change. What do you mean by that?
Well, fundamentally, the economics and the politics, which are always the kind of pressures that governments respond to. But the difference now is not that the pressure is so high, it's that it's expected to stay so long. So governments always have a tough time. You just hunker down if it's going to come right back again.
So it sounds like there's converging forces, maybe. What are some of the big forces?
Again, the economy and the global set of the economy, along with the fact that politically we can't seem to figure out what we agree to. So there's turbulence, there's pressure.
And people are more, I mean, the citizens, the ones that government serves, are a little crabby these days about government, too, aren't they?
And you really need that at some level, because a real problem with big change in government is that the public has got their own business to do. They're not paying too much attention. So if you do a big change during normal times, it's usually the opponents that pay attention and can often block it. But now everybody's really upset. They're going to stay upset for long enough that fundamental change is possible. And that's happened in the past. I expect it to happen in the next several years.
Now, the federal government spends $80 billion a year on information technology. Are they focusing on the right things? Is it mostly internal process, or are they really spending it to help the mission in a way that's visible to the public?
I think the theory of the case is that it helps the mission. I think the difficulty with the federal government is it's so large that the people in the technology positions really must do what's on their plate, which is the technology efficiency itself. That's only about 3% of the budget. So the real benefit, the real cost, and the real risk with technology is how well that's used to change how we do defense, education, public health, tax collection, those things. And that's really harder to do at the federal level than it is at the state and local level.
So have any federal agencies made progress that you feel are tangible in the mission, in the things we would see outside because of this 3% investment?
You can see that over time. The Defense Department has done some amazingly different things. Drones make a difference, as does a lot of the communication that's possible on the battlefield. Tax collection is now much more online, and that makes a big difference, although our system is so complex that we've got a long way to go there.
But just on that particular complexity, that's way outside the realm of the people working at the IRS. It's totally Congress that's created that hairball that we call our tax code.
Correct. And Congress is going to make it both possible and difficult to do some of the changes involved. That's why I think that over a long period, this period could be important. 10 or 15 years from now, we're going to look back and say some major shifts happened now, and I hope they're the right ones.
So what are some of the shifts that would be the right ones that we would not see yet but might see in the next couple fiscals?
Sure. We've been working with a series of practitioners at some institutions, federal, state, local, and some globally, who are early movers on these sorts of things, and three things come forward as really important. We've had one wave of the offer to go online, not inline, and the public sort of knows it's there. Politicians even know it's there. We've got a huge set of next waves to go, both for the broadband to do things with video that the younger generation certainly responds to. California put their driver's instruction into YouTube instead of just the pamphlets, made a big difference. Second big change, I think, is going to be what Vivek Kundra really brought, which is the open government. The data ought to go out unless there's a privacy or security reason not to, but we should take advantage also of all the collaboration internally and externally that can be done around that. I think the third big shift that's going to have to happen, even though it's going to be bloody, is the business model for government has to go. Both, we will be tapping into volunteer public problem-solving support. We'll have to. There will be extended families that will help their elder population stay at home instead of going into very expensive care. The infrastructure that allows that to happen at a distance is going to be very, very important. So we're going to do volunteerism, but we're also going to have to change the revenue base. We've got a 19th century revenue base, and it's going to have to be updated to a global knowledge-based economy, something that is politically as distasteful as the phrase value-added tax is going to get talked about, in my view, in the next several years, and the technology is going to be important for that. But a huge thing is that the cost-cutting that has to take place to put things in balance, it's going to be very difficult. It will feed back again to the online self-service kind of operations. Education, for example, a lot of schools that I know can't offer the 7 courses that my daughter was offered in foreign languages. There are just not enough people to take those, so they say, okay, Italian next year, we can't offer it. On the other hand, there's a statewide virtual high school that does distance education. So I think Clayton Christensen at the business school at Harvard has noted with some numbers that by next year or 2 years after, we're going to have something like 25% of the K-12 credits actually going to this distance education model, and people don't see it out there, but it's a technology-enabled shift to reduce a lot the costs of delivering various government services.
We're speaking with Jerry Meckling, a research VP in the public sector at Gartner. Now, you've been looking at these types of issues for so many years. How have things changed in, say, 25 years when you first became prominent in this whole field? What were we talking about then? And did any of that come to pass?
The phrases and the ideas about efficient production processes have stayed fairly similar. The huge changes have been the way both the public and certain leaders address these issues. They're much more credible now. It used to be that leaders were so skeptical that this was all hype that they didn't really want to touch it. But more and more now, you're getting people like former Governor Warner and Senator Warner now, who come from a background that says this is important, and they imply what they learned there here. I think that's important. I think another thing that's hugely important that people tend not to even notice is the speed at which we can go from an idea to a reality. That's hugely important in any political process.
Like data.gov.
Like data.gov. And state and local governments in particular are able to get some people agree that we ought to try something, but they can show it within 6 months, 12 months, not 3.5 years. I know you're going to talk to Steve Kelman. When he came down to the procurement practice, it was 3.5 years to get a procurement through. We have to do the procurement plus the results much faster.